Feels good in this house today, doesn't it? I want to give honor to Pastor and his wife for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly at all. I'll be taking your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. I know that I'm the only thing that stands between you guys and tacos. So I'll do my best to hurry up today so nobody's throwing Bibles at me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." I want nothing more than to please God today. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised." With the help of the Lord, I want to take a few moments to preach to you on this title that I draw from verse 11, "Judge Him Faithful." Pastor, will you pray over the word? Bless you. You can be seated. Judge him faithful. Many of you have heard this story before. Majority of you are family. But I'm so thankful for it, I'm going to share it again. 2 years ago, I was fighting one of the hardest battles of my life, as I watched my daughter have a biopsy done. I was standing there in that room and she began to cry because she was scared. There was nothing that I could do. And it's a whole different level of fear. It's a whole different level of anxiety when you watch your child go through something and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I felt helpless. I felt betrayed. I felt broken as I was standing there not knowing what the outcome would be, not knowing what the results would be. The enemy began to tell me the church didn't care. He began to tell me that I was going to have to live the rest of my life without my daughter. That week that she had the biopsy done, it took all I had to go to church on that Sunday morning. And then that Sunday night, Brother Jediah was preaching at a friend's church. And he asked me to go with him. I told him I would go. But deep down, I was ready to give up. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was in the car screaming at God. I didn't understand why my family was going through this. I didn't understand why my daughter was going through this. So it took all I had to walk into that place that Sunday night. But as I walked in the door, the pastor came to me and he said, "Brother, our keyboard player isn't going to make it tonight. Would you play the keyboard for us?" And he said, "I'd also like for you to sing a song for us." I said, "Yes, sir, I don't mind helping out. But all I really wanted to do was just sit in the back of the church, listen to Brother Jediah preach, and just go back home. With everything that was going on in my life, I didn't want to do anything. I felt like God had forsaken me. I felt like he had left me. I felt like he had forgotten me. And I come to preach to some people today that's feeling the same way. You feel like you've been forsaken. You feel like you've been abandoned. You feel like you've been forgotten. But I come to tell somebody today that you still serve a faithful God. You still serve a merciful God. You still serve a gracious God. And he's faithful to you today. Just a second. My iPad's been messing up all day today. We serve a gracious God today. He said he'd never leave you. Said he'd never forsake you. But he'd go all the way with you. I come to tell you today, he's still faithful today. Even though I didn't feel like doing anything, even though I just wanted to sit in the back of that church until it was time to go home, I did what that pastor asked me to do. And I believe as I walked up there on that stage and began to hit the keys on that keyboard, and I began to sing a song about how great our God is, I believe the enemy didn't know what to do. He said, "I've hit him with all that I've got, but he's playing that keyboard anyhow. I've hit him with all that I've got, but he's singing a song about how great God is anyhow." And the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I began to speak a word of faith to that congregation. I made a promise I didn't know if I could keep. I made a promise to that church, "If you'll just let my daughter come to the front of this church, and if you just pray for her, like it's your daughter. Pray for her like it's your own child standing there." I said, "If you pray, believing it's going to happen, I promise you I'll come back next week with a good report." See, I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know if I could even keep that promise, Brother Basil. But I could feel it down inside of me. I had to speak those words to that body. Because even though I couldn't guarantee that promise, he could. Even though I didn't know the outcome, he did. Even though I didn't have the answers, he did. And after that service, the pastor came up to me. He said, "Brother, I'd like for you to come back next week and preach for us." He said, I don't just want you to preach, though, but I'll be looking forward to that report. because I'm believing that it's going to be a good one. See, that was the difference. They believed that it was going to be a good one. By faith. So I went home and studied that week. We got the call from the doctor. I walked into that place that Sunday night. I told that body, we got the results back, and they came back cancer-free. The report said the results had came back benign, and there was no further treatment needed. And I believe that's because treatment took place in the front of that church that Sunday night. I believe when they laid their hands on my daughter and they began to call on his name, a faithful God stepped into that house and he put his hands on my daughter. And I come to tell somebody today, that same God is here today. What he did in the front of that church, he can do right here in this church today. If you came in here sick, you can leave here healed. If you came in here hurt, you can leave here restored. If you came in here hopeless, you can leave here with hope. Because there's a God that's still a healer. There's a God that's still a deliverer. There's a God that's still a way maker. And he's still faithful today. Verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. To make a judgment is to come to a conclusion, to receive facts or figures. And then after you weigh it all together, you make a judgment. And that becomes how you see something. How you see things is important, because vision is the womb of the mind. You're not going to give birth to anything supernatural if you can't see it. You got to believe it. Stop thinking you can't have it. Stop thinking it's over. Stop thinking it's impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. We serve a God that lives in impossibility. When man says it's impossible, God says it is possible. When man says it can't happen, God says it can happen. When man says there's no way, God says I'll make a way. You just got to see it. You just got to believe it. You just got to trust it. And you can have it today. If you walked in here needing a miracle, you can have it today. If you walked in here needing a breakthrough, you can have it today. If you walked in here needing delivered, you can have it today. Because God is faithful and he thrives in impossible places. But the biggest problem that we have is we focus too much on the what and not on the who. What's going on? What's happening? What's been promised? See, at first, Sarah focused on the what too. She focused on what the promise was, not who made the promise. And it wasn't until she judged him faithful that the promise came to pass. Because it says, because she judged him faithful. See, the what will frustrate you. The what will drive you crazy. The what will make you doubt. But when you realize who promised the what doesn't matter anymore. It's not about what the problem is. It's about who's in control of the problem. It's not about what the circumstance is. It's about who's in control of the circumstance. It's not about what the lions can do. It's about who can shut the lion's mouth. It's not about what the fire can do. It's about who can sustain me in the fire. It's not about what the storm consists of, but it's about who is in control and can calm the storm. Because we serve a mighty God, and he's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than diabetes. He's bigger than your brokenness. He's bigger than the diagnosis. Come on, somebody, that's why it's not about what the sickness is, but it's about who the healer is. It's not about what the doctor said, but it's about who the physician is. It's not about how bad your past is. It's about who the Savior is. It's not about how many times I mess up, but it's about how faithful He is. And I come to tell somebody today, you can't mess up enough that He stops being faithful. You can't go far enough that He stops being faithful. You can't give up enough that He stops being faithful, because we serve a faithful God today. Somebody ought to praise Him right now. Somebody ought to give Him a shout of praise right now just for who He is. The reason some people don't worship God and don't praise God like they should is because they don't judge Him worthy. They don't judge Him faithful, because they're dealing with the what. But I'm dealing with the who. Come on, somebody. The one who turned my life around. The one who saved me. The one who restored me. The one who gave His life for me. So you can sit in your seat if you want. But if I can clap, I'm going to clap. If I can jump, I'm going to jump. If I can shout, I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise the one who gave His life for me. I'm going to praise the one who shed His blood for me. I'm going to praise the one who paid it all for me. Because when I think of who brought me out of sin, who baptized me with the Holy Ghost, who said He'd never leave me or forsake me, I got to praise Him. I got to worship Him, because He's worthy and He's faithful today. Just knowing who He is enough to praise Him. That's why David said, make a joyful noise. Not because of all the things He's given you, but simply because of the revelation that He exists. But anybody can believe in God and still not praise Him. That's why Paul said, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I want you to know, God doesn't need man's praise in order to receive praise. Because the heavens declare the glory of God even when we won't. And God has a backup plan just in case the apostolic church decides not to praise Him. That's why He said, if these should hold their peace, then the stones would immediately cry out. Can I tell you, God never stops being God. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God is faithful in His presence. We should be faithful in our praise. So it doesn't matter if you're happy or you're sad. It doesn't matter if you're up or you're down. If you're sick or you're healthy, you got a mandate to praise God today. I wish somebody'd say right now, God, I don't need anything from You. I just want to praise You because You're God. I just want to praise You because You love me. I just want to praise You because You never left me. I just want to praise You because You're faithful today. Sometimes we get selfish with our praise. We can come into this house and say, I've got good health. I've got the dream house. I've got the dream car, the dream job. My marriage is doing good. My kids are all saved. I don't have any health issues. And we can just sit back with our arms crossed and our mouths closed. And at the same time, there's an addict on the same row as us. There's a broken brother on the same row as us. There's a backslider on the same row as us that's waiting on us to praise God and get them out of their bondage. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter what you need from God. There's somebody else that's waiting on your praise to get them out of their bondage. There's somebody that's waiting on your praise to break their addiction. There's somebody that's waiting on your praise to pull them out of depression. There's somebody that's waiting on your praise to set them free today. So why don't you just not shout for yourself, but for the person next to you. And watch God deliver your neighbor today. Watch brokenness disappear. Watch addiction break. Watch chains break. Watch anxiety leave. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise for somebody else right now. Mary said, my soul doeth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. The question is, how did her soul magnify or enlarge a God that fills all time and space? See, God wasn't made bigger in his existence. He was made bigger in her personal understanding of him. We enlarge God in our lives when we learn something new about him. So Mary praised him because it was a new revelation of a God she already believed in. That's why new converts are so crazy when they come into this house. They don't know you can't shout on the slow song. They don't know how to gripe when you don't shake their hand. They don't know how to complain when you sit in their seat. They don't know how to get mad when you don't sing the old songs or the new songs. They don't know how to get upset when the thermostat isn't set on the right temperature. All they know is I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Come on, somebody. I wish there were some delivered apostolics in this place today that would say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and the bar stool he pulled me off of, and the drug house he pulled me out of, and the people he took away from my life. Aren't you thankful today that he pulled you out of sin? That he broke the addiction in your life? That he turned your life around? If you're thankful that he's faithful today, give him a shout of praise. Somebody ought to really think about what God has delivered them from and give him the praise that he deserves today. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. That means that God is faithful. That's why David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. David realized from the time he was young to the time he was old, God had been faithful. God has always been there. It took David his entire life to realize that God is faithful. That's why your praise should be greater today than it was when God first found you. Because now you've been around long enough to know that when I was sick, he was there. When I was depressed, he was there. When I got the diagnosis, he was there. When I was broken, he was there. Somebody ought to give God your I'm still here praise. Come on, somebody. I should have been dead, but God. I should have been divorced, but God. I should have gave up, but God. I should have thrown in the towel, but God stepped into my life. Because he's faithful, and he's always there. Sister Kim, when you were on that ventilator, he was there. Sister Peg, when you had that heart attack, he was there. Sister Serena, when you had that motorcycle accident, he was there. Brother David, when you had that addiction, he was there. Sister Laura, when you got the MS diagnosis, he was there. And I come to tell somebody today, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget you because he's faithful to you today. He was your friend before you got lonely. He was your healing before the diagnosis. He was your light before there was darkness. He was your joy before you were sad. He was your help before you had trouble. Somebody give him a shout of praise because he's faithful today. There's people here today, you feel like you've just failed him too much. But I want to tell you today, he's still faithful in your failure. He's still faithful in your mistakes. Condemnation only comes from three places. It comes from ourselves. It comes from other people, and it comes from the enemy. But it never comes from God. Satan may condemn me. Other people may condemn me. And I may even condemn myself. But the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm not redeemed by anyone or anything except the blood of Jesus, which is the God that died for my sins. And I come to tell you, man didn't get to decide the proportion of bloodshed at Passover. And man doesn't get to decide the proportion of bloodshed that covers someone's past. Only God gets to decide the amount of blood that covers your life. And there's enough blood for your failure. Come on, somebody, there's enough blood for your addiction. There's enough blood for your generational curse. There's enough blood for your failure and for your mistakes. Aren't you thankful today that the blood still works? Because he goes looking for the lost sheep. He follows the lost sheep. That's why David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just when I'm living right. Not just when I got it all together. Not just when everything's going right, but when I fail and I make mistakes, goodness and mercy shall follow me. When I mess up and I fall down, goodness and mercy shall follow me. When I'm broken and can't be fixed, goodness and mercy shall follow me. The only reason we're here today is at some point we looked over our shoulder and realized God just won't leave us alone. Moses was 40 years in the desert when he looked over his shoulder and he saw a burning bush. God followed him into the wilderness. The disciples were on a boat and looked over their shoulder and saw Jesus walking on the water. God followed them into the storm. The adulterous woman was about to be stoned to death until they threw her at the feet of Jesus. And she looked over her shoulder and saw him drawing in the sand. God followed her into sin. John was exiled to the island of Patmos. When he looked over his shoulder and he saw the sky split and a voice called him higher, God followed him into abandonment. Lazarus was dead in a tomb when he heard the voice of Jesus and he looked over his shoulder and realized God followed him into death. Peter denied Jesus and quit ministering, returned to fishing. When he heard his name and looked over his shoulder and saw Jesus standing on the shore, God followed him into his failure. And I come to tell somebody today, you can't run far enough that Jesus won't find you. You can't fall down enough that Jesus won't find you. You can't give up enough that Jesus won't find you. Come on, somebody, you can't go to a bar. You can't go to a club. You can't go to a drug house. There's not a bottle. There's not a pill. There's not a needle in your arm. There's no pornographic addiction. There's no mistake. There's no failure that will ever run Jesus out of your life. The reason you're here today is he never left you. He never gave up on you. He never forgot you. You might have given up on yourself, but Jesus will reach for you because he loves you and he's faithful today. As the musicians come. I believe God's reaching for somebody in this room today. You feel like your failure is too great for God to forgive you. But you don't get to decide the proportion of bloodshed that covers your life. Only God can decide the amount of bloodshed that covers your life. And just when you don't think there's enough blood for that sin, just when you think there's not enough blood for that mistake, just when you think there's not enough blood for that failure, God says, if you'll just repent, I'll show you how much blood I've still got. I'll show you how much mercy I've still got. I'll show you how much love I've still got. And I come to tell somebody today, you can't run from God. He's with you at your house. He's with you at your job. He's with you when you're saying things you shouldn't say. He's with you when you're doing what you shouldn't do. He's with you when you're looking at things you shouldn't look at. He's with you when you're going places where you shouldn't go. You can't run from God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget you. He's faithful to you today. If you came in here broken, He wants to fix you. If you came in here hurt, He wants to heal you. If you came in here lost, He wants to save you. Because He loves you and He's faithful to you today.
Give that hand clap of praise unto the Lord today. We appreciate the word of the Lord. Did He preach to us today? Did He preach to